This episode of the Jury Podcast is brought to you by the Soul Survivor. Introducing to you the son of a paralegal at 1,000,010,000, the future Mr. Paramore. This is the Jury Podcast. My name is Justin Robert Young. That's why we call it the Jury Podcast, capital J, lowercase u, capital R, capital Y. Because we do the fucking podcast on Sundays, that's why. Coming right to your face or eyeballs, we have a humdinger of a show. It's going to be a little brisk. I'll let you know about that because it is a pay-per-view Sunday. We'll be watching Survivor Series right here on DiamondClub.tv right afterward. So if you like that and you're watching live, then go ahead and do that. Also, I'll probably upload the whole four-hour thing to YouTube. I have the last couple times. It's been a fun time. It's a good chance for us to all hang out together and watch wrestling. But I'm not going to talk about wrestling right now. I ain't. There's a lot of stuff going on in the real world, the non-kayfabe world, a world that doesn't care whether or not Team Cena beats Team Authority, a world that has had a heel turn so villainous, so despicable, so vile, that America's pop culture stratosphere stands wondering what to do. How do we react to Bill Cosby dropping a massive leg drop on all of our childhoods? Huh? How do we figure it out? How do we do it? How do we make sure that we can go on when America's father, the one that first cured racism, remember when he cured racism? He cured racism a while ago. We've been curing racism ever since. When we find out that the genteel merchant of Jell-O Pudding Pops has a history, a troubling history with women and drugs and rape. Ghost Dad's a rapist. What the natural fuck? How are we supposed to process the fact that Ghost Dad is a rapist? Beep, 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 Jell-O Pudding Pop. Oh, and it was so of its era. This whole Bill Cosby situation is not simply, one does not simply destroy the career of Bill Cosby. No. It came as the most 2014 controversy I have ever seen in my entire life. Why? Okay, tell you why. Yes, I'm going to tell you. First and foremost, we will look back on this year and we will say that it was a significant year because things that we used to sort of bury in mainstream pop culture now stayed on the front page longer. And I don't think it was a massive jump. It was just a significant one. It's like we went from 48 to 52 in 2014 when it came, 48% to 52%, when it came to certain women's issues. The Ray Rice example was a massive part of that. All of a sudden, domestic violence, we see it out there. Major star, major football talent, a huge market, the kind of person that has starred in commercials to sell the product. And that story we normally bury. And we tried to. We tried to bury it. And then it kind of just got right in our face a little bit too much. And we had to deal with it. But we didn't bury that too. So I think in the past, what would have happened is that with the Ray Rice stuff, we would have seen that video and we would have been like, wow, that's bad. He really should not play football for 6 games. And then he'd come back and we'd be well into the Ray Rice has turned his life around. Ding, 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 ding. We'd be all into those stories, but we're not. That's a change. That's something different than what had happened before. Same thing with Bill Cosby. These stories are not new. They've been out there and covered by major media outlets for years. Years! We just didn't want to believe it. We didn't want to make Ghost Dad a rapist. I spy troubling rape allegations. But it's more than that. That alone, indicative of a larger trend. Not the most 2014 story of all time. What makes it the most 2014 story of all time? The fact that it was totally catalyzed by a meme. A meme, and not just a meme, folks. Not just a meme, dear jury listeners. No. A meme that was set in motion by a botch by a social media coordinator. Oh. Oh. Oh, it is. If it were more current, it would have a fucking sell-by date on it. That is so of this moment that a social media coordinator was like, hey, everybody, make Bill Cosby memes. And then so many people make you're a rapist Cosby memes that it becomes front page news, picks up steam on its own, and completely destroys the career of Bill Cosby. To the point where now the dude's going to be exiled. No one's going to want to touch him. Netflix is dropping him. NBC, for whom him and Jerry Seinfeld are the only two living people that are gods to them. Bill Cosby, Jerry Seinfeld, that's the list. 50% of the list just got their ass kicked to the curb by NBC. That's bad. You know you fucked up, Bill Cosby, when that happens. And there's one more element that makes this the most 2014 story of all time. And that's Bill's handling of it. Oh, man, Bill. Oh, Billy. He's acting like it's 1984 and he can just wait it out and he can just not talk to anybody and he can just say it's innuendo and he can just say that this is not what it seems. Nothing to see here, kids. Move along, Jell-O Pudding Pop. Oh, it doesn't work like that, homeboy. Doesn't work like that when you can assume in the past that people wouldn't follow all this stuff. You could assume in the past that it was hard for everybody to get a full and complete picture. Ain't so hard anymore. It's very easy. He said he went out to Melbourne, Florida. Went out to Melbourne, Florida, did a stand-up comedy show, got a standing ovation. That was news. Because, of course, he got a standing ovation. He got a bunch of people at a Bill Cosby show. Bill Cosby's been getting standing ovation forever. What do you think? People are going to come to the Bill Cosby show, pay money, and then boo him? I don't know why that was news. But it was news. He gets up on stage and says, these are innuendos. People need to check their facts. Here is why that is a 1984 statement. This is why, and I don't mean 1984 in the Orwellian sense. I mean 1984 in the year after I was born sense. Here's why that is a completely outdated statement. Because that used to be hard. That used to be difficult. If you said, check your facts, that was a Herculean task to do. Not so much anymore. You can see everything there. Now, Nancy in the chat room asks, has Bill been charged with anything or arrested? These allegations have been around for years. There was a civil suit brought against him, or was about to be brought against him by a bunch of women. They all settled. These allegations have been around for years. He has not been arrested. By and large, the pattern for which, and there is a mammoth Washington Post article about this out today, his pattern was he had women come into his orbit. He was friendly with them. He's, according to them, allegedly, the women who were in his orbit thought he was the most powerful person in the world, that he was looking out for them. He sexually abused them, and then, through either paying them off or bullying or both, let them know that they were powerless, and here's some money. It's not uncommon sexual abuse behavior. It's not uncommon that somebody who was looked at as a paragon of our culture would be hard for people to come out and say, this dude raped me. And yet, a bunch of people did. Not a lot of people believed him. Everything that he said to them, according to this Washington Post story, came true. Nobody believed him. Nobody wanted to make Ghost Dad a rapist. But here's the troubling part. It can't happen that many times, right? At some point, where there's smoke, there's rapists. Like, it's just, that's just what it is. And you can really throw your hat over the wall and say, maybe all these people are making up a very similar story. But, I don't know. You can't. It would be unlikely for me to believe it. Nancy says, why is everybody upset about Bill but not Michael Jackson? And that's where I think the 2014 part comes in. You got to wonder, if Michael Jackson was alive today and that child molestation stuff happened today, and I mean the first one, whether or not there would be a reaction. Or let's say he was just still alive. He never died. He was coming out with a big solo thing. Exact same thing that happened with Bill Cosby. And their social media person said, let's do a meme MJ thing. And then everybody made it all about touching kids. You got to wonder. Because if Bill Cosby goes down, you know. You got to wonder if MJ would have too. The difference is that Michael Jackson's music is still relevant today. You know, somewhere at a bar mitzvah, Michael Jackson's music's getting played. Somewhere, you know. Aside from TV land, I don't know how many people are still watching the Bill Cosby show. Boy, do we have things to talk about. I'm going to talk about textbooks and why they matter, why they don't. I got more stuff on this homeless people versus wizards issue. The only place you're going to hear this covered is the Jury Podcast, and I'm going to come back with more of that, as well as your emails. Folks, welcome, welcome, welcome to the pre-Thanksgiving edition of the Jury Podcast. We will be right back. We'll be right back.
by sick men.
Listen to that show, We Have Concerns, by Anthony Carboni and Jeff Cannata. You ever heard of this guy, Jeff Cannata? Huh? It's a great show. It's really, really awesome. If you like a lot of the stuff that we do, either on Night Attack or on Weird Things or this show, it's great. It's very much in not the same vein, I think, in like that it's doing the same stuff, but rather, I think, kind of the same wavelength, same frequency, that makes sense. If you like one, you might like the other. But they're great. They're short episodes. They do one topic each, and they're very fun and knowledgeable about all these topics. And they always ask people for feedback. Write us in, they say, if you have a different thought on this issue. Well, I don't write. His fingers don't write. I talk. I have my own show, so I'm going to talk about a thing that they did. They had an episode about textbooks in Arizona. Textbooks. They have some science textbooks out there in Gilbert County, Arizona. And the county education folks, they decided that they were going to rip out a page that described contraception. So there is some stuff about contraception, kind of explain the concept of the concept of contraception, and then described how it acts in practice in the modern world. Folks out there in Gilbert, which go ahead, let's Gilbert, Arizona. Gilbert, Arizona. Oh, sorry, it's a town, not a county. And by my precise calculations, it is southeast of Phoenix. So not quite in bumfuck nowhere, but not far away. It's like taint fuck nowhere. So anyway, they're not having it. All this contraception, don't want it, don't need it. Ripping the textbook page right out. And Carboni and Cannata, rightfully, flabbergasted by this. Why in the holy hell would you want to do it? Makes no goddamn sense. You're not doing anything real, you know. You're just sort of making you know, trouble with uneducated kids. So here's my take. I don't think textbooks matter. I think textbooks matter in a certain way. It's certainly troubling. It is certainly indicative of the leadership of that area. I think that, you know, if they're doing it, then that's not a good sign. You know, I think it, only dumb leadership does something like rip out pages. Although, if I'm going to play devil's advocate, the people that decided to pull out the pages from the textbook are playing to their constituency. I don't think a executive by himself says, get him the fuck out of here. I think he's got to answer to a PTA department where you got some angry ass moms and dads saying, what the fuck's up with all this shit about condoms and the pill? I thought he was going to learn about organs and stuff. And photosynthesis. More photosynthesis, less condoms and the pill. Actually, no, I think it was an abortion pill thing. But I don't think the textbooks matter as much. And I think that there is a generational gap between people who grew up in, you know, a world where the encyclopedia was a valuable way to look up information about things, and the generation where Wikipedia is there. And not to say that, it's equal one for one, but it does represent easy access to a far wider world of knowledge, that anything you are curious about, you can know about far easier when it is in voluminous detail on your phone. How quickly do you think with those kids in that school, did they read the banned page as soon as it made news? Probably pretty quick. Their school was making, or their little city was making national headlines. So I'm sure they read the page. Very easy. Probably the easiest way for that town to have their kids read that page was to rip it out and have people put it up online and have them read it. So then why do we care? Granted, it's not revolutionary to say that people who run school districts are idiots. You know, that happens all the time. That's hardly man bites dog. That's something that is almost de rigueur. You have people doing a shitty job at their job. You know, that happens. But I don't think it really matters as much. The stakes aren't that high anymore. It's not. I think that there used to be, when we talk about burning books or destroying books or altering books, it is this Orwellian idea that you are the thought police, that you are correcting anomalies in popular thought. And I don't quite know whether or not that's the case anymore. If anything, we should be mocking these people for fucking thinking that that's a good idea. Like, you know. To rip a textbook page out, it's like, Jesus, why don't you fucking jam up the telegraph frequencies too while you're at it? And hobble the horses! The Pony Express will never leave Gilbert! Like, what the fuck? Like, what are you really expecting to do? You're a fucking dinosaur. Yeah, sure, but we'll rip out the textbooks. That'll show them. None of our children will ever read about condoms or the pill or abortions. Sleep well tonight, executives of Gilbert, Arizona's educational system. You've really done a great job. Not only have textbooks declined in its influence, that I don't really think it's even that big of a deal that you ripped it out, you then made it so widely available to your key demographic that you wanted to keep it out of the hands of, that I'm sure that there are far more people who have read it now that it's a big, sexy news story than if it was just a boring-ass page in a textbook. And three, fucking, really? That was your solution? Good. Yeah. They're real forward thinking. You guys are real smart folks. I, you know, if you wanted to really fucking get the word out about Jesus, you should have them Snapchatting those kids. Fucking everybody all of a sudden, hey man, did Jesus add you on Snapchat? All of a sudden he's taking pictures of some awesome shit he's doing. Leading the fucking disciples around, slanging some fucking V's and homeboys up and down. Fucking Galilee? That's what you should do. Jesus on Snapchat. I'm going to put on some robes. I'm going to be Jesus on Snapchat. See how many followers I can get. I got a really, really silly bit coming up after this. It's going to be really, really silly, but hopefully you guys will enjoy it. See, there's homeless people, then there's wizards, and wizards have got to go. Every time a homeless person's trying to have a good time, enchanted ass wizards have to fuck it up. Can't do nothing. Can't hunt for loose scrap metal in the form of a sword and a stone. Why? Because wizards convincing boy kings to grab the sword and claim his destiny. What kind of bewitching shit is that? How about my destiny without being a hungry motherfucker? I love homeless people, but I hate wizards. Oh, I hate wizards. I wish they'd let me join the Death Eaters. I hate wizards so much. Shit, I cast the Abracadabra curse from here to Hogwarts. Can't have shit when you around wizards. Can't have shit. Can't have a spot to beg in Greenwich Village. If you do, you better mix up the street signs so wizards think it ain't the Sanctum Sanctorum. Can't live in peace with a wizard. Why? Because wizards cast portals to nether realms. Wake up the day after falling through a portal, wizard comes up to you and says, heard you descended to the dark dimension. Like, wizard, you know you have the Book of Ashanti. You didn't see shit because you was casting shit. Tired of wizards. Tired of wizards. Know what I hate about wizards? Wizards always bragging about some shit they supposed to do. They supposed to do. Wizards always saying shit like, you shall not pass. The Balrog isn't supposed to pass into the daylight, you dumb motherfucker. What are you talking about? I ain't never been to Azkaban. What do you want? A birdie box every flavor bean? You're not supposed to be guarded by Dementors, you low expectation having spellbinder motherfucker. But you know the worst thing about wizards? The worst thing about wizards? Wizards love to not know. Nothing makes a wizard happier than not knowing what you're talking about. Tell a wizard, wizard, good morning.
What do you mean? Do you mean to wish me a good morning and that it is a good morning whether I want it or not?
Wizard! Fee, fi, fo, fizzard, I hate a wizard. I get your emails. Your emails come in to justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Just make sure you go ahead and write jury in the subject line so I know what it is. I can categorize it appropriately. Paul writes, how about if you cross off, this is about voting, how about if you cross off all the candidates or draw bird or whatever? Why? Two reasons. You are counted, at least here in Poland, where a person who voted, so nobody can tell you that you didn't go and vote, and your vote doesn't count in the election because it's invalid, as you can choose only one person. Now, your grandpa can't tell you that you can't whine a bitch about life, yet you didn't help anyone you didn't know or didn't support a random dude. Just a thought. Hey, listen, man, however you want to use your vote, that's fine. All I am saying is don't shame other people into voting when they don't know what the fuck they're talking about. Let them sit at home if they want. You bother them so much, I just don't understand why you can't leave him be. Higgs Boson writes, I wanted to talk to you about letter writing. I think there is a good time for writing letters. Sometimes being near each other can cause anger and frustration to boil up, especially those of us who aren't as fast on our feet and feel like we aren't getting a chance to say what we really mean. You slick talkers will tend to use the words we say, and the fact that you can talk your way around anything to quote-unquote win a conversation, especially during a conflict. It can be nice to put a whole argument or feeling onto paper. Then there's no confusion because of misheard or misremembered or out-of-context sentences. I agree, though, that particularly with emails, tone is really hard to capture, and you need to be very wary of what you put in writing, especially if you are emotional when you write. Higgs, listen, man, I'm just letting you know, you might think, because it is clearly accounted for, that writing something means that people are going to read it more comprehensively than misremembering something that is read to them. I'm here to tell you, dog, that ain't the case. People skip over words in their head. They stop reading. They get distracted by flights of fancy while reading stuff, just the same as talking. And again, my point is not to not write letters. My point is that when you write letters, facts. Who, what, where, when, why, how. That's it. No explaining exactly how you feel. No trying to encapture the complex nature of the human mind and the ever-twirling pinballs of your psyche in a page or in an email. That's impossible. And the only way that you are going to get yourself in trouble is if you try to do it and someone takes it the wrong way. Anonymous Platypus writes, I have a friend who I've known for about a year. When I first met them, it was apparent that something was quote-unquote off about them. But you don't want to be that guy who asks, hey man, what's wrong with you? I know mental and social issues are a sensitive topic, but sometimes you are just curious. What would you do? Is it too late or weird to ask? I'm starting to feel that putting a name to whatever the issue is doesn't really change anything in the relationship. So maybe forgetting about it is the best thing to do. Thoughts? Comments? Thanks again. All right. So, Anonymous Platypus. I don't think forgetting about it is ever really a great answer. You know, you always want to be able to have the option to discuss any element. I mean, if you're good friends with them, then why are you drawing lines about what you can and cannot talk about? I mean, that's the point of being friends, in my opinion, is you have that conversational freedom. You have some of these social mores that sort of keep us clamped down removed. So it really depends on what it is. You know, if I think it's a delicate thing to bring up, but if you're very curious about it, and more specifically, if you think that you can offer perspective or help or advice, then I think it's almost your obligation. If you're that good of friends, it's your obligation to do it, in my opinion. I would feel like it's my obligation. But I don't know. I'm also up in everybody's shit at all times, so maybe I'm just a fucking know-it-all. Bryce writes, if you have the opportunity to jump ahead 100 years, would you do it? Well, follow the assumption that it wouldn't be a post-apocalyptic hellscape. It would still be a functional world similar to our current one, but with an extra 100 years of science and medical advancements. If not 100 years, is there a number that I could entice you, 500 or 1,000? Now, normally my answer to that is I don't really want to go, I don't want to jump ahead permanently because I kind of got a lot invested in this time, you know? Like, I like what I'm doing right now. I want to see how this stuff, I want to see how everything works out here. So I don't know if a hypothetical number would really entice me at all. You know, I'd be interested to go. Like, let's say it's not me choosing, but me being sucked into a wormhole any time in the future would delight me. If I had no choice and it was just, you know, sucked out to sea in a riptide of time, then yeah, 100, 500, 1,000, dig it. Although, Jesus, I mean, imagine somebody coming from 100 years ago now. Like, they would probably not handle it all that well. They'd move out to the country, you know. I guess they could chill with Amish. I would like to live in the Amish village 100 years from now where it's just a bunch of people like me doing podcasts and live streams. That would make me very, very happy. Dan, he writes, I really like this girl, and I found out that she was leaving to move to London, which is like 5 hours from me. So I took a leap, and I kind of told her how I felt about it. One day, a few weeks before she left, she kind of asked if we could go for a drink. She ended up coming over to mine, and we had a wild evening of partying and getting messy, which ended in an incredible evening of talking all night, followed by amazing sexy time. Hold on.
She was the kind of woman that was so unbelievably out of my league, it was untrue. In the morning, she left, and I couldn't believe my luck.
The next day we talked and she said that she would like to hook up sometime before she left. So we agreed on a date at mine again. I playfully suggested she turn up in something sexy and I kind of waited for her to turn up. I had a funny idea that it would make me chuckle if she rocked on over and I was wearing this giant fancy dress banana costume while she was all dolled up. So I stick on this outfit and sat and waited for her to turn up. Anyway, After waiting in my costume for like an hour, I kind of questioned whether or not to take it off, but convinced myself that I'd gotten this far and it seemed silly to take it off. Anyway, this carried on for at least another hour. I sat wearing this stupid costume for over 2 hours, and it turns out she got carried away at a friend's house, and the plans we made were out the door. I think I messaged her to say I was a bit gutted that she didn't come over, but she didn't reply. So I messaged her again and told her what I had done and kind of laid it on the line that I really liked her and it would have been at least nice of her to let me know that she wasn't coming over so I didn't waste my evening. I rang her up the next day to kind of find out what was going on. Anyway, she apologized and said she hadn't had access to the internet. So I said, I may have sent you a bunch of shitty messages. Upon rereading them, I had kind of laid it on a little thick due to getting drunk and unleashing my inner twat. Before she read it, while we were on the phone, I had pretty much smoothed things over and it looked like we would hook up again. However, once she read the madness that had left my brain, basically she said she was all right and left. Man, I wish I had just sat tight in my banana costume and chilled the fuck out instead of behaving like somebody from the fucking OC or Dawson's Creek. What a twat! Oh, friends, listeners, countrymen, lend me your ears. For Dan has given us a parable that we must heed. For when you are caught up with feelings, when you are in a whirlwind of emotion, it is the worst time to express yourself via text. Believe me, if you take nothing else from this show, it will make your life better if you substitute patience and even-handed conversation or fact-based text writing instead of hyperbole and instead of, I just had to say it. Get that out of your mind. Because otherwise you'll be like Dan whenever you want to write. Whenever you feel like you just need to get something off your chest. And you just need to express feelings that have been locked up inside you for so long. Think of two men. Think of one man. A fictional Dan. Who is doing nothing but having some freak. Nasty boot, knocking, sweat, dripping, soaking, wet, monsoon season in Central America, hot fuck sesh. And then think of sad Dan. Sad Dan, who in reality sat there in his banana costume and got drunk and then decided to write his feelings. If only had just gotten drunk and smoked pot and watched an old Royal Rumble on the WWE Network. If only he had just gotten drunk and decided to call friends over to play Connect Four. If only he had just gotten drunk and decided to research the history of the House Aaron in Game of Thrones. Oh! He could have been fictional Dan. He could have been dick deep in paradise. And yet, he lives with this heavy banana burden on his back, knowing that just because he needed to write his feelings down, he was punished. And rightly so. So, ladies and gentlemen, when you find yourself in this position, when you find yourself thinking, is the man on television really my black father or is he a serial rapist? When you find yourself wondering why pages in your textbook aren't left out, when you find yourself arguing about homeless people versus wizards, think about Dan. Think about what amazing turns your life could take. if only you chilled the fuck out. And more than that, remember me. Remember that you can find this podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and some other shit. Remember that you can email me, justinrobertyoung@gmail.com. Remember that my Twitter and Instagram are justinryoung. And remember that you can hashtag join the conversation at diamondclub.reddit.com. But more than that, folks, remember that my name is Justin Robert Young, and I am wishing you very, very, very much to please don't die! Do you love when your friends look good?